Well, good morning. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Yes, he has. He has and risen. He has risen indeed. Good morning, everyone, and happy Easter. Easter, or as the church prefers to call it, Resurrection Sunday, is a very special day, as we all know, for all who have or will place their faith in Jesus Christ for their salvation. The death and resurrection of Jesus is really the foundation of the Christian faith. Other religions are based on the teachings of some particular religious founder. For instance, most world religions want to teach you about something that their religious founder taught them or wrote down, such as how to live on this earth or even for eternity. These religions want you to do or earn something for a better life or to arrive at some type of afterlife. But all these religious founders have died or will die. Jesus Christ, though, is different. Jesus, praise God, still lives. And all who believe in him, he now lives within you. How consumed are you by that thought that the risen Christ lives in you? Has he changed your life? The fact of the resurrection of Jesus should change your life. And if it hasn't, then maybe you haven't really understood the significance of the resurrection to truly believe what it means for you so it can become a reality in your life. The reality of the resurrection. My prayer today is that we will all be reminded of this very important event in history. And by the Holy Spirit's leading, we will walk out of here changed, as Pastor Kai just prayed. We will walk out of here changed to live our lives out in the reality of Christ's resurrection. And really understand what it means to live for eternity. Now, when I was first appointed lead pastor here at Living Hope Community Church, I prayed for God's guidance on what he wanted me to do before I ever stepped into the role as lead pastor. At the time, I felt in my spirit that God was asking me a question instead. I felt like God was asking me, Mike, what do you want for the people in my church? Now, this seemed like a strange question I felt like God was asking me in my spirit. Why would God ask me this question? What do I want for the people in his church? Because it's his church. It's not mine. But I thought about this question some more. Because if I'm going to effectively lead this church as a pastor, I had to know that answer as well, even for my own life. And the one answer that consistently came to mind that I gave back to God was this. I said, Jesus, I want the people in your church to fall so madly in love with you that no matter what this world or enemy throws at them, they will stand firm in you no matter what. Because those who believe in you are to live in this world, but they are not to be of this world. You see, that is what living for eternity is all about. Last week, I went over how the disciples all ran away the night that Jesus was arrested. They ran away in fear because they weren't watching Jesus as they were asked to do by him. They weren't paying attention to what Jesus was doing that night as he stood firm in prayer and in constant communication or communion with his Father before his arrest. But instead, the disciples grew lazy, they grew apathetic, and they even kept falling asleep. So when the time came for the disciples to stand firm with Jesus, they weren't prepared. They ran away and left Jesus all alone. But you see, something happened to these disciples 3 days later. Something drastically changed within these disciples' faith. to cause them now to stand firm, even to the point where they were willing to die for what they believed, rather than ever turning their back or running away from Jesus again. What could have caused this drastic change in the disciples' faith? As we all know now, it was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this Easter Sunday, which by the way is my first Easter Sunday as lead pastor, it is an important one for me personally. My prayer this morning was for everyone here today to have the same change in their hearts that these disciples had when they first saw the risen Christ. When we exclaim this morning that he is risen, and then everyone exclaimed back, he is risen indeed. I ask you, do you really, really believe that? More importantly, do you experience the resurrected Christ in your life? Because I can tell you, when you truly do, when you truly have faith and believe this, you will fall madly in love with Jesus. And your life will be changed forever. And I emphasize forever. So if you're struggling with experiencing the reality of the resurrection in your life, and even as a Christian, let me tell you right now, it isn't going to be some fancy words for me or a sermon for me that is going to make that become a reality in your life. The reality of the resurrection in your life can only occur when you open your heart in faith and truly seek the calling of Jesus in your life. And if you do this, you too will experience what those disciples experienced with their own eyes when they saw the risen Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that those who believe in him without seeing will experience him more in their life than the disciples did, who witnessed the risen Christ with their own eyes. This past Friday, was Good Friday. It was the day that our Lord and Savior stood in our place to take away the sins of the world, to take away your sin and my sin, by taking it all upon himself instead, and then dying for us. Because of Good Friday, you can look back and not be afraid. You can look back and say, because I believe in Jesus, I am forgiven. I don't have to look back anymore. My old self has been crucified with Christ at the cross. Now today is Easter Sunday, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Because of Easter, or because of the resurrection, you can now look back and also, or look forward, I should say, and also not be afraid. You can look ahead and say, I am born again. I am made new, risen with Christ as a new creation. Not only that, you are promised an amazing future in eternity. Jesus calls this paradise. Before Jesus was even crucified, he talked to one of the Pharisees about this very thing and the kingdom that was to come. One night, a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus came to talk to Jesus about the things of God and his kingdom. This Pharisee, Nicodemus, recognized that Jesus was a wise teacher and was even sent by God. So, naturally, Nicodemus wanted to know more, how he too can learn more about God and even be with God. In John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. It should be up on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. Jesus replied to Nicodemus, inquiring Nicodemus' inquiry about the kingdom of God. And Jesus responded to Nicodemus by saying this. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, Nicodemus really didn't get what Jesus was talking about here at this point. Being born again. What does that mean anyway? The truth is, Jesus' own disciples before the resurrection didn't really get it either. They especially didn't get it the night Jesus was arrested, tortured, nailed to a cross, and died. Everything that Jesus taught his disciples up to that point seemed to be lost the day that Jesus died on the cross. Jesus taught his disciples that he was the bread of life, but now he was dead. Can you imagine the confusion among Jesus' disciples that Good Friday? I can imagine all that could have been going through their minds that day as they laid their Lord in a tomb. I can think that their minds were probably saying Christ was defeated. I know Satan was rejoicing as well that he was defeated. Can you imagine the devastated feelings that must have been going through the souls of those disciples that day, and even the next day on Saturday? Today there are people who will look upon their own circumstances, pain, suffering, and even temptations and wonder, where is God? Did God just leave me? There's a beautiful story I read about a Sunday school teacher who asked the children in his class to bring in plastic Easter eggs on Easter Sunday. He asked his students to put something in the egg that symbolized the meaning of Easter. When Easter Sunday arrived, each child brought their egg forward to their teacher. One child had a tiny flower in the egg and said the flower represented new life that spring brings. Another child had an egg that contained a crayon picture of Jesus. Another child had an egg with a nail in it representing Jesus dying on the cross. And yet another child brought forward an egg with a small pebble in it representing the stone that was rolled away from Jesus' tomb. This teacher thought they were all great examples of what Easter meant. But one last child, who was mentally challenged, came forward and handed his teacher an empty egg. The dumbfounded teacher said to the boy, "But it's empty." The boy then said to his teacher, "Don't worry. Yes, it's full of emptiness, just like the tomb of Jesus was. You see, teacher, I too was empty, but now Jesus is alive in me." That's what Easter is about. Being a Christian or a follower of Jesus is more than just following after his teachings on how to live your life here and now. And I'm not trying to minimize any of Jesus' teachings by saying that. The truth is, many people love the teachings of Jesus. He was a great teacher. Even those who say they don't believe Jesus was the Savior of God like most of his teachings. And even an atheist can agree upon most of Christ's teachings, especially his teachings on love. But another truth is, if Jesus rose from the dead, which he did, then you have to accept all of what Jesus said and all of his teachings. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about what he said or taught? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like Jesus' teachings, but whether or not he rose from the dead. The resurrection was the triumphant victory over anything that can be thrown at you from this world or from the enemy. It is ultimately the victory over death itself. The great gift of Easter is hope. Christian hope gives us confidence in God that everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be okay because God is with us always. And he is giving us an amazing future. Now, there was a woman spoken of in the Gospels by the name of Mary Magdalene. Over the centuries, there have been debates on whether this woman was the adulterous woman that Jesus saved from being stoned to death. The scriptures don't exactly say who that adulterous woman was, but there is some evidence that it could have been Mary Magdalene. Mary was one of the few disciples who actually followed Jesus all the way to the cross the day he was crucified. There was also another sinful woman spoken of in the scriptures who once anointed the feet of Jesus with her tears and oil and then wiped them with her hair. No one really knows for sure who this woman was either. But after this woman anointed the feet of Jesus with her tears and oil, Jesus said something to the Pharisees who were watching this woman do that and judging Jesus for allowing this sinful woman to cry over and wipe Jesus' feet with her tears and with oil. And Jesus said this to the Pharisees. It's found in Luke chapter 7, verses 46 and 48. Jesus said, "You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, I bring this up because I believe Mary Magdalene was probably that adulterous woman, or maybe even the woman that was wiping his feet with her tears and with oil. We don't know for sure who those women were. But what we do know for sure is that Mary Magdalene was madly in love with Jesus. And it wasn't a romantic love either. She loved Jesus because he forgave her when no one else would. And it is interesting that the very first person that Jesus chose to reveal himself to after the resurrection was Mary Magdalene. It was an early Sunday morning before the sun even was up. Mary and some other women were walking down to the tomb of Jesus to anoint his dead body with oil, which was customary in Jewish culture. As Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were walking down to the tomb, there were two Roman soldiers there guarding the tomb by the order of Pontius Pilate. The religious Pharisees previously requested that Pilate station guards outside the tomb because they knew that Jesus spoke that he would rise again 3 days later after he was crucified. And the Pharisees feared that Jesus' disciples would steal the body and then claim that Jesus rose from the dead. So here is Mary and the other women walking down to the tomb that early morning, and then the earth shook and an angel descended and rolled back that large stone, blocking off the tomb. And the appearance of this angel scared the guards, who ran away trembling. You can find this account in Matthew chapter 28. It is in the same chapter it says that the angel then said to the woman, now standing outside the tomb, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said." Shortly after that, the women ran back to the other disciples, including Peter and John, to tell them that Jesus' body was gone. Peter and John didn't waste any time waiting for an explanation from Mary. They ran down to the tomb, and they too found it empty. When Peter and John were standing outside the tomb, it says in John chapter 20, verse 9, "For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Peter and John then returned to the other disciples, perhaps in some confusion on what was actually going on. Now, I think we really need to pay attention here what happened next. Mary Magdalene went back, and she stayed there at the tomb, crying. It says in John chapter 20, verse 11, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped in to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus was laying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him.' Having said this, she turned around, and she saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' or 'Rabbi,' which means teacher. Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went and announced it to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord,' and that he said these things to her." There are some very important nuggets in this account when Jesus revealed himself risen to Mary Magdalene. We first need to take note that Mary at first didn't recognize the risen Jesus at first. Now she saw two angels speaking to her. I don't know, if you had two angels speaking to you, I'd probably be in shock. That's what she was probably in shock. But she was still weeping, wondering where they took her Lord's body. And when Jesus was standing right in front of her alive, she thought Jesus was the gardener. She couldn't recognize him. That wasn't until Jesus asked her, "Woman, who are you seeking?" When Mary replied that she was looking for her Lord's body, Jesus then called her by name, Mary. And at that moment that Jesus called out Mary's name, her eyes were opened to see the risen Christ. And then Mary wrapped her arms around Jesus and clung to him. And Jesus even had to tell her to let go. But I don't think Mary ever wanted to let go of Jesus that morning. She wanted to hold on to her Savior so badly. If you're here today and you're wondering, where is God? Where is this Jesus? Let me ask you, are you truly seeking after him? Are you looking for the risen Christ? At first, Mary was looking for a dead body. Even when Jesus was standing right in front of her, she still couldn't recognize him or see him until he called out her name. Let me tell you something. If you have trouble finding God in your life, it's not because he isn't there or doesn't care about you. He is always standing in front of you. But you need to stop seeking after things that are dead or dying. See, at first Mary was looking for a dead body. It wasn't until Jesus called her out by name, Mary, and then her eyes were opened. Jesus was alive. And Jesus is calling out your name this morning too. But you won't hear him call until you start seeking him. Start seeking the risen Christ. And again, stop seeking after things that are dead or dying. Mary said, I'm looking for my Lord, and then Jesus called her name. Christians are often asked by unbelievers or people from other faiths, why is Jesus the only way to God or to heaven? And if you weren't here last week, I shared the word on why this is the case. The holy God will never allow sin in his presence. It doesn't matter how good of a person you think you are either. We have all sinned and we have all fallen short of the holiness of God required to be in his presence. But a perfect sacrifice was made when Jesus, who had no sin, took it upon himself in place of you. He took your sin, he took my sin on himself, and he died for it. So you now too can be forgiven and be in the presence of God. He loved you so much, he was willing to take your place. But usually Christians stop there when someone asks them this question, why is Jesus the only way? They'll usually say, Christians, to a non-believer, don't you want that forgiveness? In his great love for you, he took it all on himself so you can be forgiven or to be in God's presence for all of eternity. Don't you want that? But see, the cross is just the beginning so you can be forgiven. When I first became a Christian and believed in Jesus Christ, I too thought everything in my life was going to change in that moment that I asked for forgiveness. I would tell people that I was now a Christian, but my life wasn't reflecting that very well. I was still dealing with a lot of temptations and sin and falling over and over again. And I remember crying out to Jesus, where are you, Jesus? I thought I was supposed to be born again. I thought I was supposed to be this new creation in you. I was even baptized in your name, Jesus. And it didn't take long for the enemy of our souls to take advantage of this issue that I was having. The enemy started to see doubt in my mind. I would even look upon other Christians who seemed to have it all together and wonder, what do they know that I don't know? Maybe Jesus has blessed them with more spiritual strength than I have. And I'll admit, it wasn't a very fun time in my life as a Christian. The problem that I was having is I was kept looking for things in this world to bring me peace and happiness. But see, they were already dead or they were dying. Even while I was still believing in Jesus that I was forgiven, and I was. You see, I didn't doubt my salvation. I didn't doubt that I was a Christian. I never abandoned my faith in Jesus during this time. And Jesus never abandoned me. But I wasn't having victory that was promised because I didn't have my focus on the resurrection and what that really meant for my life. The resurrection of Jesus brings power and victory. It took God's power to raise Jesus from the dead, and that same power can raise all of us in this life as well, that bring victory. The resurrection is everything for a believer. Mary didn't want to let go of Jesus when she saw him alive again, but Jesus said to let go. I have not ascended to the Father yet. And there were many other eyewitnesses to the risen Jesus that day, and for 40 days, as a matter of fact, before he ascended back to heaven to sit on his throne. After he was risen, Jesus revealed himself to the apostles, Roman soldiers, and even random strangers. The scriptures indicate that Jesus revealed himself to over 500 people after the resurrection and even continued to teach them about the kingdom of God. Not once did any of these people come forward saying that the apostles who wrote the New Testament were lying, even when the apostles faced their own death for what they were saying they believed and saw. But this morning I focused on Mary Magdalene because there are so many people today who say they have not seen God or Jesus in their life. That if this Jesus is real, why would this loving God allow so much suffering in this world and not do anything about it? The truth is, God did do something about it. He died on the cross for you and I, and he rose in victory at the resurrection. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 4, "Blessed be the God and our Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you." And the Apostle Paul said this regarding the resurrection in Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. "For if we have been united with him in his death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved by sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." It's belief. It's believing. Believing that Christ accomplished everything for you. That same power that brought him back to life is the same power that brings you to life now. Not just after you die and go to heaven, but now. It brings you to true life. This hope of eternity in heaven is now always before us as we live here in this fallen world. But you need to hold on to the truth that that treasure that is stored up for you in heaven because of Christ's death and resurrection, now that all who believe have access here and now to that throne where that treasure is held for you. But we need to stop digging in the dirt looking for treasure, especially when that treasure is standing right before you and I, Jesus. Shortly before Jesus ascended back to heaven, he met with his apostles on a mountainside. And I want to close today to leave you with these final words and instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples. And even if you have not come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ yet, he is leaving these words for you as well. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 17 through 20, Jesus said this before ascending back to heaven. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That is good news. He is always with us. God has not abandoned us. Despite your circumstances in this world, Jesus, when you're in a relationship with him, is within you. And he's reaching out his snail-scarred hands to you if you have not accepted his offer of grace and forgiveness. And he's calling you out by name. This Jesus who has all authority over heaven and earth. For those who believe in him, he is now giving you the authority on this earth through him. And I realize there may be some here who are having trouble believing that because they don't see that reality in their lives or in this world or maybe in the circumstances surrounding their family and friends. Because we have to face it that we live in a dark world. This darkness can even affect Christians at times, many times more so than unbelievers. But those who are in Jesus, you are now born again. because of the resurrection. When Jesus spoke to his disciples, telling them about what was to come through his death and resurrection, he said to them in John chapter 14, verse 20, "In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I'm in you." If you accepted Jesus' calling and have come to the cross for forgiveness, your old self is now dead with Christ, and your new self is now alive in him. Him in you, and you in him. As Jesus said in that day, which is the day of the resurrection, he now promises that he will always be with you. At the tomb, Jesus told Mary that she could now let go of his physical risen body, because when Jesus ascended to heaven, he promised that he would live in her heart. And he gave her the authority and the power to live in his resurrection, so she can live out her life in victory. My son Owen died, and he went to heaven about 7 months ago. Since he died, I think of heaven daily. I think of eternity and what it will be like. I know it will be amazing. And I know my son, who used to play up here on the worship team, is probably playing up in heaven right now. I hope God likes a bass and loud guitar. But God has a great treasure for Owen, for you, for me. And I know the great treasure that I have is I'm going to see my son again. But the ultimate treasure is I'm going to see Jesus with my own eyes. As I shared earlier in this message, when I first became a Christian, I wasn't living my life for the reality of eternity. I was simply holding on to the forgiveness that I was given, not realizing and truly believing that Jesus gave me a new life. Not just for heaven, but for here on earth. It was the most horrible night of my life, the night my son died. And I could tell you this truth, I would not have made it through it if I didn't believe with all my heart that Jesus rose again. Jesus has overcome everything in this world, including death itself. Jesus can bring you through anything that is thrown at you. He is the light in the darkness, and he wants you to have his light within you. And I will never stand up here and tell you that you will never have to face pain and suffering by coming into a relationship with Jesus. But I can promise you this, he will bring you through it. His light will bring you through the darkness. Jesus is alive, and he is risen. And his name brings victory. I want to invite the worship team back up so we can sing one last praise song to Jesus before we leave today, and then I'll come back out up and close us out in prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I ask today if there's anyone here who feels Jesus calling their name. He is offering you, well, I know he's calling your name. And I ask if you want to enter that relationship, make that decision for Jesus, that yes, Jesus, I want to accept your forgiveness. And not only that, Jesus, I want to live this resurrected life in you. You see, Jesus made a bold decision for you. He went to that cross and suffered and died for you. And now he's asking you, if you haven't made that decision, to make a bold decision for him. I would ask you to raise your hand. Or even if you have struggles of living that life of victory as a Christian, just raise your hand so I can just pray for you. Myself and Pastor Kai will be up here after service. If anybody would like to come up and pray, we'll be here for a little bit and we'll pray with you personally. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace. And Jesus, we praise you today for the power that you displayed by rising from the dead. And Jesus, I know you're here before us right now, and you're speaking to all of our hearts, Lord. And I would just pray for anyone here that is trying to decide, do they want to make that decision for you, Lord, that you will just keep speaking to their hearts. We know that you will always be doing that because of your great love and mercy and your amazing grace. Thank you for your time with us today, Lord, for your spirit being here. And I pray for the children downstairs, as even if they as they go out and hunt Easter eggs, Lord, that your presence would be among them, showing them the joy of your salvation. Be with us the rest of today, with our friends and family. May your spirit be with us, which we know, Lord, it always is. And we praise you today, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name.